But I want to talk today to our young people. I want to talk to the parents about the fact that they should watch their children, making sure that they are listening, because I want to specifically address our young people, our young men and women, ladies and gentlemen, today. Because you know the Bible has a lot to say about you young people. There is, for instance, a king with the name of Josiah. He was a king of Judah. And I won't even turn to the scriptures, but we find several descriptions of his life in 2 Kings, chapters 21 to 23, and also in 2 Chronicles, chapters 33 to 35. Those of you sitting here in front of me who are still younger may think that the church, that's not for me, it's just for old people. But Josiah had to fight with similar problems like you and I, you and I have to fight today. You see, Josiah became a king when he was 8 years old. His father was a bad ruler, extremely bad. His own servants killed him. Josiah grew up in a very wicked society, but his mother seemed to have been a good woman. And then, of course, there was Jeremiah the prophet, a close friend of Josiah. And they undoubtedly had a good influence on Josiah. We are told there was never a king as Josiah who, with his whole heart, his entire being, his whole soul, turned to God. Never a king before or after Josiah who did that. When Josiah was 16 years old, still very young, as the Bible says, he began to search for God. Now, how old are some of you sitting here? 16? 8? Perhaps a little bit older, younger? Do you think you have a lot of time before you should start to search out God? And I mean really looking for him. Josiah was 16. You don't have to wait that long. Think of Jesus Christ. He was 12 when he talked to the teachers in the temple. How old do you think the children were who spoke to Christ in the temple saying, "Hosanna, son of David"? One is never too young to look for God. Josiah was 16. He became a great ruler in a wicked nation. He brought the nation back to God. He made a public promise one time in front of all the people. And the Bible said that he convinced the people so that they took a stand for God. They followed the example of Josiah. And because of the great influence of Josiah, the people made the right decision. They decided to obey God. Josiah was a successful leader. And as long as he lived, the people stayed loyal to God. How about you? How about all of us? But specifically, how about you young people? Are you leaders who are giving a good example in your neighborhoods, in your family, in your school, in your university, at work? Do you have friends, perhaps, who at one time had kept the Sabbath, but they don't do it anymore today? They begin now to play soccer on the Sabbath, or they go to a disco on the Sabbath. Do they influence you to do bad things, or do you influence them to do good things? Jeremiah also was very young when he became a prophet, when he was called to become a prophet. Several feel he was about 16 or 17 years old only. He said one time, "Separate yourself from the society, from an environment which, for instance, keeps Christmas, Easter, Halloween." Jeremiah said, "Come out of it. Don't have anything to do with the pagan days." But Jeremiah said something more. He said, "Become a goat before the flock." In other words, influence your friends, your relatives, if you have opportunity to come out of that wrong way of thinking. Do this through your example. Are you an example? And somebody asks you, can you answer the questions without being ashamed? Why should you be ashamed for not keeping Halloween, a festival which is so clearly dedicated to the worship of demons? Why should you be ashamed for not keeping Christmas, a festival that was dedicated to the pagan sun god Baal, according to the Bible, a terrible idol, an idol to which children were burned as sacrifices? King Josiah had to deal with those priests of Baal. When he was 20 years old, he began to eradicate the worship of Baal. You could say today he did away with the celebration of Christmas, of Easter, of Sunday. Because Sunday, too, was a day dedicated to the sun god Baal. Josiah executed the priests of Baal. Now, you might say, that's cruel. But Josiah was the king. And the Baal's ministers were responsible for the mass murder of thousands of innocent children and babies. Babies who were sacrificed to this idol. You see, those priests told the parents, you have to sacrifice your children to that sun god. The nation of Judah had become so abominably wicked that Jeremiah said one time, the idea that somebody would want to sacrifice their children to such an idol was so incredible that even God never even thought about the possibility that something like that could happen. God was appalled when he saw these terrible religious rites, and Josiah was appalled. What about you? Are you appalled when young people pretend at Halloween to be witches, to be demons, wearing horrible masks? Or is that of no consequence to you? How does it look when you hear that parents kill their children by the thousands, the millions, when they abort them, when they kill them in their mother's womb? But there is still more to be said about King Josiah. You see, a prophet of God stated about 350 years before his birth that a man with the name of Josiah would appear and that he would execute the priests of Baal. Let's think about that. 350 years before Josiah was born, God already knew that a man would be called with the name of Josiah who would execute those priests of Baal. What about you? Does God have a purpose for you, like he had a purpose for Josiah? Does God want you to seek him, even if you are still young? He put that desire into Josiah. Are you responding to the call? Are you seeking God today with perhaps Bible study, with prayer? Do you speak to him? Do you think about him? God says to especially you children and young people who are sitting here today and who have parents who are going God's way of life, that you are holy. God looks at you and wonders whether you are willing to live a holy life. He wants you who are holy to live in a holy way. Now, what does that mean to be holy? It means that God has a very specific purpose for you. He has called you out of this society, a society which keeps Christmas, Halloween, Easter, Sunday, a society which teaches you that you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore, that you don't have to keep God's annual holy days anymore, like the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days. It could mean that he told you that you should go his way of life, that you should keep the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days, not just 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or 7. Maybe he is wanting you to become more friendly towards other people. Maybe he wants you to forgive others more, to hate less or not at all, to stop fighting with others, stop maligning others, stop stealing from others, stop smoking, stop taking drugs, stop having sex outside marriage, before or outside. Maybe he wants you to stop cheating on your tests in school, at university. Maybe he wants you to stop lying to others. I say maybe, of course, that is exactly what he wants you to do. Stop doing all these bad things. He has told you that his word, the Bible, is to be studied, that you should pray to him, including on your knees. God wants you to become a king or a queen, to be able to rule on this earth, over this earth. As King Josiah ruled as a king over the house of Judah and brought it back to God. But there may still be another purpose which God has for you. Because sometimes God has very special tasks for special people. Think about it. 350 years before Josiah was born, God had already decreed that a man with the name of Josiah would execute the priests of Baal. And Josiah did it. Let's also think about Jonah. Now, Jonah was told by God to go to the city of Nineveh and to warn the people that Nineveh would be destroyed within 40 days unless they would change their way of life. But Jonah didn't want to go. In fact, he ran away to a harbor city and entered a boat, a ship, which was going into the opposite direction. But God had said, go, and so he made sure that he did go. God created a whirlwind, a storm. The sailors threw Jonah overboard. A huge sea monster swallowed him up. And he was in the belly of that sea monster for 3 days and three nights. And then the sea monster spewed him out upon dry land. And God gave him, Jonah, the same order again. Go and warn Nineveh. And now Jonah went. Well, God has also something for you to do. What exactly it is, you need to find out. But whatever it is, God will see to it that you will do it. Now, I'm not saying here that it's your task to start executing the modern priests of Baal. Now, that's most certainly not what God has in store for you. It's not your task to create a sign and then to write on that sign, in 40 days, Berlin will be destroyed, and then you walk over there with that sign in your hand to warn the people. That is most certainly not what God has in store for you. But perhaps God has a very specific task for you, perhaps to be more friendly towards other people, to be more respectful towards your parents, towards your teachers, to become more happy, to be more alert in services, perhaps, to listen to the messages which are being given, to listen to the advice being given to you by the ministry, as Josiah listened to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. All so that you can obtain the purpose of your life, to become a king and a queen in the kingdom of God. God says to you that you are holy. Think about your Creator in the day of your youth. Don't say, I still have time, perhaps tomorrow. Not yet, not now, it's too early. I'm too young. That's only for older people. Or the times were different then. Today it's all so much more difficult. Today you cannot obey God in everything. But what does God say? There is nothing new under the sun. It doesn't matter when you live, where you live. You have the same difficulties like everybody else. God says, enjoy the days of your youth. But he also says, remember that God will bring you into judgment for everything you are doing. King Josiah was a very righteous king in a very unrighteous society, because he began to search God, seek for God, when he was still young, 16 years old. Do you seek God? Do you really seek him in the days of your youth? God has said, you are holy. He wants you to live a holy life. He has a purpose for you. And as long as you don't turn away completely from God, he will see to it that you will fulfill your purpose. You can do it the easy way, or you can do it the hard way. You can act like Josiah or like Jonah. Which one would you rather be? What example would you rather follow? God wants to see you in his kingdom. He wants you to be a ruling king, a ruling queen in his kingdom. He wants you to be a goat in front of the flock of sheep. In other words, to become a real and true leader. Seek God, as Josiah did, today, now, in the days of your youth. And as Josiah looked for God, so we also continuously pray that God will protect our children and that our children will find God. Because, you see, we are living in dangerous times, and it will only get worse. I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew 24 and verse 19, we read about how bad it's going to get. Now, we need God's protection more than ever before. And that is especially true for our children and for our youth. God looks with much appreciation, with much love on our children. You see, if we are parents, children are given to us as a present from God. And we have to use that gift in the right way. But we cannot always be with them all the time. We cannot protect them every single second in their lives. But God can. And God will. I'd like to turn with you to Matthew chapter 19. By the way, this is the second part of the sermonette, as you probably figured. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. We read, "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.'" You see, Christ became very unhappy when he saw that the disciples tried to prevent the little children to come to him. You can later look at passages like Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, and also verse 16, which gives you the idea that these children were kind of still small because Christ lifted them up in his hands and blessed them. But I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. "At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And that Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea.'" See, this shows us why Christ had so much interest in little children, because they reflect the attitude we must have in order to enter the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 14, we read, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 14, he says, "The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. And if you go on, you find that he was very unhappy about those who didn't accept what he was doing. But keep reading in verse 15. "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' They were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" And then he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. You see, we're talking about little children who had already begun to search for Christ, as we have talked about earlier. We as Christians have to act as little children do and think. So we have to become little children. But little children also, specifically if the parents are in the church, are growing up in the church of God. And that's why we are blessing them, asking God for specific protection. Notice Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. I know I'm giving the translator a hard time because I'm going back and forth on my script, but I hope he's going to be able to follow. Matthew 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18 and verse 10. Good. "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." This refers to true Christians who are becoming as little children. This refers to the little children of the true Christians. God has assigned a guardian angel, or more than one, to our children to protect them consistently from harm. You see, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, again a passage you can look at later, we are told that angels are ministering spirits being sent out for us who are to inherit salvation. But that also includes little children whose purpose it is to become converted Christians, to enter the kingdom of God in their due time. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. Here a mighty angel talks to John. And John is so overwhelmed by what he hears, he falls down trying to worship that angel. Chapter 22 and verse 9. "And then he, that mighty angel, said to me, 'See that you do not do that.'" You are not supposed to worship angels in any way. He says, "For I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book." No, you worship God. Angels are servants, ministering spirits, sent out by God to protect and help and lead us and our children. You see, coming back to the concept of guardian angels, notice an interesting passage in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, we read about Peter who was in prison. He was freed. He went to the church, the congregation, and so he was standing there knocking at the door. Acts chapter 12, look at verse 14. Because here was this girl named Rhoda, not Rhonda, but Rhoda, and she didn't want to let them in. So she goes back to the disciples to tell them. Verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, because he was supposed to be in prison, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself. You're crazy. You're insane. You know what you're talking about. You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, "It is his angel." His angel. They knew that a particular angel had been assigned to Peter to protect him as God assigns angels to all of his people to protect them, including our children. You see, we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that when we are attending Sabbath services, and we are attending annual holy day services, that we are appearing to the, or at the heavenly assembly of angels. Did you realize that? That they are looking down on us, watching us, what we are doing? Do you realize the possibility that angels might be in this room right now? Don't dismiss that possibility. They are watching us, as God is watching us, every second in our lives. There's nothing you can do which God doesn't know. You see, angels are assigned over countries, as the Bible says. Angels are assigned over certain church congregations, as the Bible says. Angels are assigned by God to protect us and to protect our children, because our children are holy. Now, I said this several times. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. Even if only one parent is a believer, that makes both the unbelieving mate and the children holy, in the sense that they could have access to God. In verse 14 we read, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified," being made holy, sanctified by his wife. "And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy." They are set aside for a holy purpose, the purpose of responding to God's call. And when God's ministers follow the example of Christ and lay their hands on the head of a child, praying over the child, then they ask God to assign a guardian angel to that child, to protect the child through thick and thin, to protect him or her from evil. God has given us, our children, as a gift. We are supposed to protect them. We are supposed to lead them, to guide them. But we can't do it all the time. And so we turn our children back to God. And we are asking God to protect our children all the time.